and get 139 within this biennium?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, I think it's probably, in terms of the co-chair's budget, one of fiscal constraints more than anything else. My understanding, and there is a discussion point a little later, but I can cover it now, is that the agency, at least to this point, has been pretty successful in having a good candidate crew. It's still seized where that is out for the full biennium. It's coming from new folks as well as a number of transfers from other agencies, which is actually a benefit because they will not have to go to the same 16-week basic course as if there's someone new coming in to the door. So recruitment has been positive to this point. I don't know if the superintendent wants to comment any further on that.
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, good afternoon. For the record, Timothy McLean, Superintendent of State Police. As Mr. Wilson reported, yes, we've had very good success with our recruiting efforts in the last several months. As reported to the committee earlier on this year, we assigned two people from, one from patrol, one from Fish and Wildlife. Very positive so far that we've got about 872 applicants, and we hope to break the 1,000 mark by the end of the month. Again, as I reported earlier, though, that, you know, you can cut that number about in half sometimes, but in this case, we are recruiting, so it's not, we're just not waiting for the people to come in the door. As Mr. Wilson also reported, we have approximately 70 applicants from other police agencies, including city, county, and some out of state as far away as Michigan State Police. So we're very positive there.
Thank you. Senator Nelson and Senator Burdick. Just to follow up on with the training, how does this tie in with the department's safety and standards training? Are we going to have enough money in that thing to actually train these 100 new folks, or how many? I don't know how many folks are actually going to be there, but it's, how's that looking?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, that's a discussion that actually is going to take place tomorrow in terms of what DPSST needs to meet theirs as well as Department of Corrections to bring back to this subcommittee with the DPSST budget. This is a lower number than what had been considered in the governor's budget in terms of state police, and it's even more so with the depending on the number of lateral. But the DPSST funding is a crucial part of that. That is not off our radar screen at all.
Senator Burdick, then Senator Winters.
Thank you. I just wanted to get kind of an idea of how many of the troopers that we lost before are returning in this round. Are you picking up some of the ones that we lost before with the cuts?
Mr. Chair, Senator Burdick, I'm only aware of one additional that may possibly come back that took a job for Fish and Wildlife in Washington. But right now, if memory serves me, we laid off about 132. I think we got about 100 of those folks back over time. Some came back immediately as you folks reestablished some funding, and others just came back in as we had further retirements and people that resigned.
Senator Winters.
Just a quick, you know, our goal was to try to make certain we're getting 24/7 coverage, and what does the reduction of not having the other 39 troopers do, or what's the impact or implication?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, we have to take some things into consideration here. And one, my recommendation is that we look at more of what we described before as our area commands, and that's our bigger offices, and look at putting those 100 troopers in those offices there so we at least have the 24/7 coverage in the bigger offices. It wouldn't phase in the same way as you've seen some of the earlier reporting that we had, phase one and phase two, where we're going to try to get completely up I-5, I-84, and 197. That would take 97 troopers. I think it's more important to probably not put the trooper or two in Arlington in some of those work sites, but focus more in some of the other areas like McMinnville, Astoria, which were actually phase three, and try to get troopers in there so at least we have where the calls for service are, for the most part. We try to have that clock covered in those areas. And then supervisors in those areas can also then take care of that outlying area, and maybe we won't be calling people out of their houses at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Let's continue.
Mr. Chair, members, I think we're on package 208. Again, LFO recommends approving the two support positions and the rent dollars for Ben and McMinnville. You'll see the rent for Ben and McMinnville in a number of packages. These are two offices that are known to be replaced during the next biennium and open toward the end, at least in terms of the Bend office. Package 309 is an equipment replacement package. It replaces 260 digital cameras. Part the general fund, the $347,000 is the debt service, and the other funds is the COP financing for these cameras. Back on package 201, real briefly, the cars and other equipment are part of the cost in package 201, and that would also include new digital cameras in any new cars or any new equipment that's purchased for the new troopers. It's often factored into that package. Package 318 is really does what has been practiced, adjust the budget. Two trooper positions have been kept vacant to provide resources for overtime on mainly construction zone enforcement. This doesn't change the practice. It doesn't change the number of hours that trooper hours out on the road. It just takes into account what has been done before. This package and a base budget increase of one position gets you to that, where that graph I said earlier, where it doesn't grow quite 100, it grows by 99. When you factor in the base budget adjustment and package 318, you get that 99 increase instead of the 100. But again, the net increase is 100 troopers in terms of the number of hours on the highway. And finally, in package 810 in this division, we have sort of scrunched around and find, just like we did for DOC, found a little bit of money for fuel cost. The governor's budget is assumed at a relatively low fuel cost as compared to today. This won't get all the way to the hole that's developed, but it does help. In this case, it's $435,000 for the patrol division. And actually, I think in terms of the issues, pretty much I've discussed all those issues that I wanted to bring up so far around 24-hour coverage, where in the state, and the DPSST issue. And just the last one, it's not only DPSST to make sure there's sufficient resources there to train them, but also internally, when they come back from DPSST, there is for lack of a better term, on-the-job training and mentoring to make sure there's sufficient resources within the agency itself to absorb the new troopers also. And that, Mr. Chair, is the patrol division.
I just have one thing, because I noted that the staff, Mr. Chair, had other issues that the subcommittee may want to give the agency some direction with respect to the corridors.
Yeah, we were kicking that around. I think that my feeling, and I'd be interested in getting other people's opinions, is that we should allow the department some leeway in making that decision. But if any of you would like to give some feedback to the superintendent, feel free.
I certainly think that we should give the superintendent leeway, but I also, as you know, one of our, you know, as I look at the corridors, I-5, 84, and 97, and the trafficking that comes up those corridors, I think it really is important if we're going to, as we aggressively seek out the mid and upper level meth dealers that are coming between Mexico and up to Canada, that we make certain we have the resources on those major corridors, because we know that those are the corridors that are being used.
Good point. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As it regards the patrol division, I'm, as you might guess, highly disappointed that we have not found a way to get to the number of troopers that was first indicated by the executive branch and later on by the agency in terms of finding a way to get to 24-hour coverage on the state's highways. I'm also highly disappointed that we did not find an opportunity to hear a bill which may have funded that prior to working this budget and going through this. I just think we owed it to ourselves to take a look at that and give this body an opportunity to review that bill, see how the funding would work, and plug it into the system so that as this agency and Department of Safety Standards and Trainings looks to the future and the planning process, they would have known, you know, where to go in terms of their training. I think they had an indication from the executive branch that 139 troopers was what they were going to get. I think they ramped up their recruitment and so forth, and as you've heard, have been quite successful in that process. And you know, now to sort of jerk that back on them is just a big disappointment, and I think we'll do them less than great service if we don't find a way to finally get them to the number it takes to have that 24-hour coverage.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, with all due respect, it's my recollection that the governor had dedicated funding in his package to provide for 24/7 coverage, and I think if we were to come to an agreement around dedicated funding, my guess is we could easily get to 24/7 coverage. In terms of this superintendent's authority, I guess speaking for me in my district, we certainly have adequate law enforcement, and my concern would be to make sure that rural Oregon has the resources it needs to protect people. So I don't know what we need to do in terms of providing the superintendent with authority, but I feel very strongly that whether it's 97 or the corridors south of Medford, but we need to make sure that rural Oregon has the law enforcement services that it needs. So that would be my concern in terms of how the superintendent covers Oregon.
Representative Barker.
Thank you. And I just was going to say, pretty much echo what you had to say. I'd like to see more troopers in Washington County, where we used to have a big office. Now there's very few. But in the meantime, we do have a good county sheriff up there. So until you get a full load of people again, I'd rather see them also go to the areas of need. And depending on you and your staff to figure out where that is. Serve Oregon, especially rural Oregon, as the sheriff's departments come under more and more pressure.
Mr. Chair, just a comment to you.
Senator Nelson.
Last week, one of your troopers picked up a drug shipment. It was about worth $500,000 or something like that. 12 huge bundles picked up. So they're really working I-84 really hard. That was about 10 or 15 miles west of Pendleton, I think, something like that. Or maybe it was east of Pendleton. I can't remember which one it was. East west.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, yes, that was our K-9 officer that you rode with on a ride along over there. Got an alert on a vehicle and 176 pounds of marijuana.
Representative Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Even though we haven't gotten to the next section yet, I'd like to add a comment or two with regard to the new troopers and also refer to something that I noticed is in the next section. In several different sections. Adding 100 troopers is a very significant increase. And as Senator Brown was describing, the initial recommendation that we saw with the governor's budget was counting on new revenue. We have no new revenue, but we have a chance today, right now, to add 100 new troopers. That's a huge increase. It's not as much as we would like it to be, but as a first step for what we can do today, that's almost if I'm doing my math right, that's almost a 25% increase in a single step that we would want the state police, that we want the department to ramp up as quickly as possible to be able to add those troopers. A 25% increase is a very significant addition to the department. It doesn't mean we've stopped looking for the new revenue, but we need to pass a budget right now based on what we can, and I think we're doing really good work here today. If we have identified the money to carve out of other places to make sure we can add 100 right now. And in addition to that, we're seeing that there's also additional support for the department to do the rest of the work. We're going to see it throughout here. You know, new detectives, new evidence techs, and some of those other increases that are necessary to make sure that we're not only on the road, but then we can do something about it to bring crime down.
Comment. All right, let's keep rolling.
Mr. Chair, members, Criminal Services Division, Package 101 is, again, essential infrastructure package. In this case, it's just adding resources for fuel costs, relatively small amount compared to the Patrol Division. The next package, 205, is the identity theft. The governor proposed 4 detectives and 2 research analysts. Our recommendation, based on the co-chair's resources, are for 3 of the sworn detective positions, so basically half of the package in terms of, and these would all be sworn positions. The next package, 206, the narcotics and major crimes. Similarly, this one funded 8 detectives positions plus 1 support position for the growing sex offender registry workload. The LFO recommendation is for 5 positions, 4 sworn detectives to do the narcotics and major crime investigations, basically to help support local governments in that when required, and then also the sex offender registry position to keep up with the workload in that area. Section 208, this package, the infrastructure and field support, again, this is just for the rent for the proposed Bend and McMinnville field offices. Again, that comes out in a number of places. Number 302 is an extension of the Tobacco Compliance Task Force. This package assumes the passage of the bill that extends that sunset past 12/31/07, the end of this current calendar year, and this package just provides a sufficient funding or limitation for the positions, the 5 positions that are already in place. Package 303 had originally been proposed in the governor's budget to extend 3 limited duration positions for the HIDA, or high intensity drug trafficking area. The decision was made that these positions, or the recommendation to, instead of having these positions in the state police budget, that they be in the Department of Justice budget, because that's where most of the state agency activity currently occurs. So you'll see a very similar package added to the Department of Justice budget when that budget is in front of you in a couple weeks. Package 810 is additional fuel resources, in this case $65,000 for the Criminal Division. And finally, 819 is a technical adjustment. There is still money from what the December 2006 Emergency Board provided to this division, and in terms of grants, which you'll see in a little bit in a different division. This is actually funded from a de-appropriation, if there is such a word, in 05-07 and placed in this budget. These are overtime costs for the criminal detectives to work with local communities on carrying out the grants. That, Mr. Chair, is the single division budget and policy packages.
All right, let's keep rolling.
Forensics Division. The Forensics Division, the major policy difference here, or funding difference, is Package 319. I put it up front. The governor proposed using all criminal fines and assessment and replacing all general fund with that. And the co-chairs and our recommendation is that remain that being a general fund budget. Again, it doesn't change any of the bottom line at the end of the day and the end of the budget process. Package 202 adds 15 positions for the forensics lab. This is all the forensics division folks thought they could really recruit and absorb in 1 year, and the expectation is that, or the assumption is that, they would return for another 15 positions as a request in 09-11, which would bring them to the level they feel they need to keep pace with the requests that are currently there. This package also includes $1.1 million to work off that backload of DNA testing. When you went, those that took the tour, there were large boxes of DNA samples. This is part of that budget and should work far into that backlog, if not cover the entire backlog.
Representative Nicholson and then Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to follow up on something that Mr. Wilson just said. I am very pleased that in a we're able to add so many additions to the state police budget. And this one I want to call out specifically. When we were having our presentation, I was looking back through my binder on page 53 when we heard about this. This is about citizens want to see safer neighborhoods. They want to feel safer when they're on the street, whether they're a pedestrian or they're in a car. They want to be safer at home, but they also want to see justice done. And I remember very well from the presentation hearing that this is about catching criminals, but it's also about charging criminals, and it's about the court system and reducing trial delays. And so I'm very pleased that we can actually do something to make the entire criminal justice system work a little better with this piece of the package.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to compliment the co-chairs on the $1.1 million on getting that backlog of DNA cases done, because it's about 1 in 9, I think, they solve, or 1 in 10 for every one of those. So it's good.
Thank you, Representative Cameron. And Superintendent McLean, my understanding is that will put you in a position to get caught up. Is that correct?
Yes, pretty close, my understanding is. Great. Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, 208, package 208 is, again, it's related to the Ben facility for the forensics division's share of the rent at the proposed facility. There is a forensics lab only in a few areas of the state. Ben is one of the locations for a forensics lab. Package 304 recognizes the proposed transfer of the toxicology program. Currently, that package or that program for medical examiners is provided by OHSU, Kaiser, and actually Kaiser then contracts with an outside lab to provide it. So it sort of contracts with three different organizations to get it done. What is being proposed here is to add two positions to the forensics division lab to do that work. They're in the same building. And it actually strengthens the forensics division's expertise in this area to provide for that. There's two differences in our recommendation. First is $186,000 was inadvertently left out of the governor's budget as part of that transfer. Want to make sure that's part of the transfer, as well as that. That's the only one. Excuse me. So you'll find a companion pack to this in the medical examiner's office here in a minute or two. So that is the forensics division.
Representative Barker.
I see that on the DNA testing, that's farmed out. And I'm assuming we know the quality. We're assured that the quality we're getting there. I mean, everybody has, everybody has great faith in Oregon State Police. But when you send it to other labs, that always raises the question. And are we convinced that that's...
Mr. Chair, Representative Barker, yes, we are.
Mr. Chair, to that point, a couple things. They do have to meet certification, lab certification, national certification, so that helps a bit. And there was an issue under that related to that $1.1 million, since it is hoped that the backlog will be caught up or nearly caught up by the end of the division, we wanted to make sure that that wasn't rolled into the base budget and that there's still a backlog that they need to come back as a policy package. For 09-11 by
end. And just to put on the record, I think, Superintendent, what you're hearing from the committee is concerned that quality is very important in choosing those contractors.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Moving on, the medical examiner's office. First, again, the CFA fund shift, the governor proposed almost the entire budget for the medical examiner be transferred from general fund to CFAA. The co-chairs and our recommendation is that remains general fund. 208 is the infrastructure and field support. This had provided funding for the medical examiner's office in Bend. At this time, that's not recommended, mainly because in package 209, which created a new medical examiner position for the Bend in the last few months of the biennium, that was not part of the co-chair's budget. So package 208 is not recommended, as well as a portion of 209. What is included in the package 209 is a new support position to keep up with the current workload. in the central office of the medical examiner, as well as to create a mid-Willamette Valley position, which actually is self-funded in the budget. They contract out for that function right now, and that person, if I remember right, is retiring or won't be continuing, so they need to bring someone on. If there is interest in the Bend position in the future, that could be made as a policy package request in 09 and 11. And then package 304 is the other side of that medical examiner toxicology program that that I described just a minute or two ago in the forensics lab or forensics division. That is the Office of Medical Examiners. Moving on to Fish and Wildlife. Not many changes in this budget. Package 101, the essential infrastructure. This is recognizing the need for additional resources for fuel costs. In this case, it's general fund, $127,000. Package 305 is a one-time transfer of funds from ODFW, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, for crab enforcement. This will allow the agency to purchase or lease a larger boat for crab pot enforcement, number of pots per fisherman or whatever the restrictions are out on the coast. This is a one-time transfer of funding from not the general Fish and Wildlife funding source, but from a special fee on just shellfish, is my understanding. Package 318 is, these are federal funds, $174,000, establishes two positions to collect and compile data for the federal grants and federally funded programs operated under the division. And then finally, package 810 is another package for fuel costs. In this case, it's $100,000 of ballot measure 66 funds that were available from that pot of money that's put into this budget. One issue that I just wanted to highlight here is that the major funding source for this division are transfers from ODFW, mainly hunting and fishing licenses. They are at the end of their current fee cycle. They sort of raise fees on a, I think it's a six-year cycle, but I could be wrong on that time period. They're getting to the end of that cycle, and there is some concern, enough to just state it here, that there may not be sufficient working capital at ODFW to pay for the compensation changes that are part of the this budget, which will then have to be addressed by the E-Board when they take on the compensation issues part of the way through the biennium. In the past, they have backfilled with general fund for these types of situations.
Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the staff, I have a note here regarding Senate Bill 101, Senator Devlin's bill, and my recollection is that passed the Senate floor this morning. I assume the resources for that bill are taken care of, or do we need to fund that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, that was the ATV, and there has been some discussion. I'm not sure if it's finalized about adding some resources to this department. I think that would likely be done in the end of session bill because those discussions are still coming on.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Let's keep rolling. Oh, Senator Nelson.
To follow up on the last comment that Doug was, we were just hearing the Fish and Wildlife budget and natural resources, and that the testimony was exactly what he said, is that the in-state licenses are down substantially. Out-of-state licenses are up, and they don't know where that balance is going to be. There's a pretty significant difference
in hunting and fishing and where they're getting their fees from. So it was a pretty revealing testimony this morning.
Interesting.
Mr. Chair, members, moving on to the Administrative Services Program. In the budget, this is mainly the financial personnel, the superintendent's office, a number of other functions, and also included in here is a large portion of the staffing is dispatch and call taking for the agency. Package 101 was essential infrastructure. This restored staff lost in past biennia to support various agency functions. The positions included in this package are a budget manager, We want to keep Ms. Brown funded. She is currently double-filled on a position, another budget position, a trades maintenance position, and some dispatch staffing to keep pace with what was cut in past biennia. LFO recommends the approval of this package, and also, as I mentioned before, when we discussed the patrol division, this package also moves four of those trades maintenance positions that had been in the patrol package into this admin services budget where they belong and are budgeted in the base budget. So that's why the LFO recommendation is larger than the governor's budget recommendation. Package 204 is part of the OWEN package. This is a fiscal staff position that would be located in the fiscal services and not as part of the formally part of the OWEN program, but it is part of their overall package. This is would be a fiscal position, $139,000. Number 207 is a training and sworn applicant processing package. They had requested two sergeants, three troopers, and a support staff, six positions total. The LFO recommendation, based on the resources in the co-chair's budget, recommends four positions and at about a two-thirds level of worth of funding for this package. In addition, the package, instead of using partially funding this with CFA, the LFO recommendation is to fund it totally with general fund resources.
Without wanting to micromanage or anything, I know when Portland Police Bureau went on a big training hiring program, they hired retired people to come and do the backgrounds, and they just paid them $20 an hour with no benefits and saved considerable money that way. I mean, I don't know if that could be done or if that would pencil out for you, but just something you might consider.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bakker, we've done that in the past, and we can look at it again using retirees.
Mr. Chair, continuing package 208, this is additional infrastructure. It had included an internal auditor position, a health and safety training position, two dispatch-related positions. LFO recommends, based on the resources available in the co-chair's budget, only funding the internal auditor position and then making sure there's sufficient amount of money in the budget for rent. So there's a few positions there that were not funded, and we would just have to see how it went through the biennium, and then that could be part of the 09-11 request. Keep in mind that as the additional troopers that are being added in this budget, the 100 troopers are phased in during the biennium and don't all come in at once, so that did affect some of the decision here. This package also includes a reclass of a purchasing and contract manager, and as in almost all cases, it's our recommendation to approve the reclass but not provide the funding for it. And you'll see that in a few other places. Package 319, a CFA funding shift. The governor had proposed making sure that all the training budget was CFA funding. The LFO recommendation is to make sure that all of it is general funded, including the amount that was in the base of $1.3 million CFAA general, or in turning that to general fund doesn't change the level of funding, it's just the funding mix of those positions. Package 502, this is part of the transfer of the Office of Emergency Management and the Criminal Justice Services Division, portions of that to the Military Department. The Criminal Justice Services Division is sort of split three ways in the governor's budget and also as part of our recommendations. In this case, five of the positions that are related to sort of non-Homeland Security grants are transferred into the Administrative Services Division and will be housed there. There's also positions transferred to the Military Department and one position to the Department of Justice. This package 813, that should be package 811 in your memo, not 813. This recognizes the transfer of three admin-related positions, fiscal staff, personnel staff from the state fire marshal to this division. This is making sure that that using administrative positions to the optimal amount It also recognizes the desire of the agency to make sure that the state fire marshal is part of the larger state police. So these are three positions and funding that goes along with them. You'll see a counter package in the fire marshal budget. So this, again, is revenue slash cost neutral in the overall budget. And finally, a technical adjustment, package 819. This just purely balances out the accounting positions as part of the transfer to the military, and what position stays, accounting position stays with state police, and what accounting position moves with the Office of Emergency Management to military. And also included in this package, I mentioned before that in the criminal division, that not all of the grant funds approved by the 2006 legislature for gang and meth-related activities are out the door quite yet. This package extends a in terms of general fund appropriation, but to fund that, there will be a clause in the bill to disappropriate or deappropriate funding from 05-07 in the same amount. So again, on the bottom line, it doesn't change things. Just a couple notes or issues. The agency has made a great deal of strides in filling vacant positions, eliminating double fills over time, and I think that's worth noting because that was a significant issue during the 05 session. And finally, the department uses general fund to pay for a lot of the administrative costs and central functions provided to programs that are not funded with general fund. This budget does not have a great deal of cost allocation going along to spread the cost to those programs. We took a look at that in the past few weeks. The department had done a lot of work, but it was toward those programs, for example, like ODFW, that did not have a lot of funds to provide at this time. What I think LFO's recommendation would be just to note to the department that as part of the development of the 09-11 budget, that the agency needs to talk to those departments that do provide funding, Marine Board, ODFW, Lottery, to see if they can provide more funding to free up general fund in the 09-11 that is going to their share of the admin costs. That is the Administrative Services Division. Moving on to the Information Management Division, package on the bottom of page 14, package 319, again, similar to many of the other areas. This is the LEDS program, Law Enforcement Data Systems. Governor proposed to fund that with CFAA. The recommendation here is to use general fund instead of the CFAA and keep it as it is right now. Package 101 is essential infrastructure. In this case, there were quite a few. This is one area of the budget that was significantly reduced during 0103. This package does a number of things. It brings up what is called the Enterprise Services section, adds staff there. These are the folks that basically are out in the field or around the central office making sure the networks are up and running and getting service in the field. I know for many of the troopers and such in the field, this has been a bone of contention that there's not enough staff to keep that up and running. It also takes care of some LEDS positions that have lost their funding to maintain federal funding and certification for the LEDS program. These positions, part of 101 and also in package 208, need to be funded. And finally, even though there's money to start developing and look into the OWIN program, the current communication systems, a wireless communication system, which was quite old and is not in great condition, as you saw in some of the presentations, there is just over $500,000 in here to provide funding to keep that operating and replacing emergency generators and other equipment that might not make it until the full OWIN project is able to move forward. Again, the governor had proposed that part of the LEDS program here would have been funded with CFA. Our recommendation is to keep that all general fund. Package 208 is that infrastructure and field support related to 101. The LFO recommendation is not to hire or not to fund quite as many positions as the governor requested, but a large share of them. And again, our recommendation is to use general fund instead of CFA for those LEDS-related positions. As part of this, there's also in identification services, this is the background checks, fingerprint checks, gun license checks, to add 3 shift managers into there. They have been, during the cutbacks over the past few biennia, they've cut into management, and they're finding that they need those shift managers since they operate 24 hours a day. In package 812, this is a package that has been added. House Bill 2252 has passed, I think, all but the Senate floor. And this is recognizing that there is additional limitation need in that bill for the identification services section of the Oregon State Police, and this just recognizes that this bill is on its way for passage and adds a position and the additional limitation when that bill passes. Part of package 208 is a chief information officer. This position was cut in the 0103 budget. There is no doubt that there is a need for that position in this budget and for this agency. But one of the concerns that our office has is to make sure that the various information systems in the public safety area talk to each other. You will be discussing OGIN, which is the judicial branch major package in the future when you get to that budget. That will be your major sort of new funding going toward information management systems. There's also money in corrections budget to continue developing their system. There's need for the LED system. We would like a portion of that CIO's time be spent on helping coordinate agency interaction across the entire public safety. You'll probably hear from the DAs, if not this biennium, in the 09-11 budget around their needs in information management. So we want this position to assist in coordinating all those efforts. That, Mr. Chair, is the Information Services Division. Or information management, excuse me. The gaming division, starting on page 16, relatively small division compared to the others. Package 208 is the infrastructure and field support. Again, this is just this division's share of the rent for the Ben and McMinnville offices. Package 307 is Boxing and Wrestling Commission. This adds a position to to keep up with the workload. There is sufficient funding coming into the commission from their fee structure, and part of this workload is the licensing of promoters for mixed martial arts. And I think that was something that was authorized last biennium, I believe, in 2005. And finally, in 308, an expenditure limitation for tribal gaming. This just recognizes the need for to make sure there's sufficient limitation to pay for the higher fees for background checks, vendor key employees, and others, as well as some equipment for vehicles. The funding here would come from the tribal governments. Moving on to the state fire marshal on page 17, package 101 includes a reclass of a position. While we recommend the approval of the reclass, it is our practice not to approve the funding, and they would have to find this $12,000 within their present budget. But the position is recommended for reclass. This is an information systems position. Package 310 is related to, and I can't think of what the bill number is right now, but this is actually a bill that has been signed by the governor around safer cigarette tax or testing. The fiscal impact of that bill was just a little bit over $25,000. This would come from the fire insurance premium tax. The next package, package 311, the governor's budget included $151,000 for web-based incident report. Just in the past couple weeks, the agency has come back and said that they now need significantly more than the $151,000. This is getting to a large enough information systems or management system that I think it merits review by the Joint Committee in Information Management and Technology or other similar committees. So the LFO recommendation is that provide a $1 other funds expenditure limitation, have them come back to the IMT committee and the e-board or next session to get the rest of the funding for this. There was just not enough information at or time to look at why the significant increase in the cost of this project. It's not necessarily saying that LFO does not believe it's important. It's just that there needs to be more review of it. Package 314, a database administrator. This was a request in the governor's budget for a position for most of the biennium. LFO recommends this package, but at a reduced amount. The agency overall is looking at how many of their agency-wide support services are organized. This is related to information system staffing, and we recommend that this position only be established halfway through the biennium after that review takes place, and that the proper location, the proper staffing around information management is planned out. Package 315 is a fire and life safety employee development. This is training resources for the State Fire Marshal's Office, for its staff, for alarm fire sprinkler inspection, testing, maintenance, and fire investigations. The source of the funding is fire insurance premium tax revenues. We recommend the approval of this package. Package 316 is additional training and equipment for the HAZMAT teams. There's 15 of them across the state. There's additional training needed around Homeland Security, related to Homeland Security requirements on weapons of mass destruction. And the training will also provide resources to increase the local staff available to regional HAZMAT programs. We recommend the approval. 318 is a position reclass. It reclasses two positions, as we have said before. DAS has signed off on the reclasses, and for that reason, we're recommending the approval of them, but they have to find them in their own present budget. This is for $18,000. Package 813, that should be 811 instead of 813. This is the other half of that transfer of fiscal and personnel staff from the State Fire Marshal to the Administrative Services Division. And finally, Package 819 is a rebalance issue in terms of the 0507. The State Fire Marshal feels it needs to make sure they can get through the entire biennium and purchase what they had planned to purchase. They need an additional $156,000 limitation. Actually, this is delaying what they would have bought in 2005-07 and moving and buying equipment in 2007-09. Some of the equipment is ordered but may not be delivered until after the beginning of the biennium. The budget, the issue there, not a budget note but just an issue, is just purely recognizing that the fire costs of the biennium had been funded with fire insurance premium tax, while in previous biennia they had been funded with general fund. Office of Emergency Management, this office is being proposed to be transferred primarily to the military department. Package 204 first recognizes taking two of the positions that are currently in OEM, transferring the OWIN program. This was the former Homeland Security advisor who is now leading the OWIN program, or that position is leading it, and a support position to that position. So there's a transfer from OEM to the OWIN, and that you'll see in another package. 402 recognizes that the 911 program must be reauthorized or extend the sunset. It is scheduled to end at the end of this calendar year. There is a bill moving its way through the legislature, and this $41.7 million recognizes the final 18 months of the biennial's worth of revenue and expenditures. And then Package 500 takes the base budget plus Package 402 and transfers it to the military department. You'll see the second, so the back end of this package when you review the military budget that is scheduled on Thursday of this week. Again, LFO recommends this. This, as you notice, will basically zero out the Office of Emergency Management in the State Police 4709. You'll also hear House Bill 2370 that has been scheduled. That is the bill that authorizes the transfer to the military department. That is scheduled for Thursday. Criminal Justice Services Division, similarly, yes. Criminal Justice Services is similar to what I just discussed in OEM. Package 500 transfers all the remaining grant funds related to Homeland Security and positions. There's five positions to Homeland Security. 501 transfers one position to the Department of Justice relating to violence against women grants. And finally, Package 502 transfers the five positions I mentioned earlier and the associated grant funds from this division to the Administrative Services Program. And again, that zeroes out the budget for this division for 0709. And Mr. Chair, finally, the last budget unit that is included in this bill is the Oregon Wireless Interoperability Network. The governor had proposed a sizable chunk of money as part of this budget, as well as in capital construction. The recommendation here is to just provide what is necessarily for the staffing for 24 months, for the planning, for the development, site selection, working with local governments, working with the federal government, basically doing the work necessary to keep the project on track. And then the expectation would be that they would come back at the beginning of the 2008 session that is planned and request what is necessary to move forward with the construction of that package. So that is essentially what is included in Package 204. There is $3 million of general fund for staffing. There's also $3.8 million of other funds. This would be for this would be funded through COPs to fund staffing for this project. It is common practice in DOC, in DAS, and other agencies that planning for large capital construction projects are also funded with COPs, and that is recognized here. So the co-chairs had included $4.8 million in their budget for OWIN. This budget contemplates or recommends the use of just over $3 million general fund. And it does keep them moving on the process. There's a budget note which I'll talk about in a second here regarding that. 813 is just recognizing that there are still unspent funds for OWIN, as well as IWIN, which is a federally funded program with the U.S. Department of Justice, where the state police and other agencies, federal agencies, are developing a joint federal-state project along the I-5 corridor. It is expected that will actually save some money overall in the OWIN once you start looking at that in terms of construction on the OWIN project. So Package 813 just recognizes the need for in 0709 for that package.
Did that 813 become an 811?
No, that one actually stays the 813. That was a misprint on my part. Package, thank you to Ms. Gilbert for catching that. The bottom of packet or page 23 and the top of page 24 talks about the OWIN project. The first bullet there on bottom of page 23 just notes that there is discussion going on around a federal Department of Commerce. There may be some grant funds available to the state and local governments. And that's one reason you see a $1 limitation on Package 204, just to make sure that there is federal limitation if those funds do become available. The more important budget note for your consideration or budget issue budget note is on top of page 24. That is a budget note, and the OWIN Governor's Office and DAS has seen the copy of this budget note. It basically sets the stage for what they need to do before the 2008 session and beyond around this package. around the Owen project, excuse me. They need to come back with the most recent available cost estimates broken down so the legislature can review it both on phases and on regional basis, as well as the various components like a microwave system and communications towers and that kind of thing. The rollout schedule based on location and major project components. The various technologies considered in designing the system and the reasons they were selected or not selected. There has been lots of discussion around various technologies, whether it's satellite, whether it's wireless, or what has been generally the prime candidate in terms of what is in place right now in the project. They need to come back and discuss the reasons for the various selections of the technology. They need to come back and discuss the feasibility of integrating other systems into this, like OPB, because I believe there's a request for radio or transmission equipment at OPB, and the anticipated level of federal and other participation of funding and the basis for that estimate. Early on, it was thought that the federal government would provide a large share of what the state cost for Owen is. That's not materializing at least as quickly as folks would like to see. There's lots of action in Washington, both at an Oregon level as well as multi-state level on discussions with the federal Congress over funding. And finally, number six there, the amount of local commitment in partnering on this project. One way to bring down the overall state cost of this is to do as many joint efforts with local governments as they look at the needs of their systems in this area. So that is a budget note for the O1 project. And finally, the capital construction project there. This, again, like Department of Corrections, this is just a recommendation to whatever subcommittee deals with capital construction. In this case, the governor proposed $585 million for the Owen project. It is our recommendation for a $1 other fund and $1 federal fund limitation to be reviewed at by the 2008 legislature. And that is reflected in package 204. Mr. Chair, the only other issue that I need to bring forward at this time, and this happened since I put together this memo that was sent out to you late last week, is the agency has identified the need for 2005-07 limitation, which can be included in this bill, for the Office of Emergency Management for $988,300. This is related to pass-through grants to local jurisdictions for Homeland Security grants and for payments for telecommunications equipment that is part of the 911. We recommend that this increase in limitation be included in this funding bill for 07-09, but it is 05-07. There is plenty of revenue to provide this resources for this limitation increase. Mr. Chair, that is my recommendations.
Is there a motion on the LFO recommendations?
Mr. Chair,
I move Russell.
The policy option packages as recommended by the Legislative Fiscal Office in their May 11-07 memo to be amended only by the numerical changes in POP 8. To be amended only by numerically changing POPs 813 to 811 in both the State Fire Marshal and OSP Administration divisions.
Senator Westland has moved changes to the division's policy option packages. Is there any discussion? Senator Winters.
I've moved all the POPs with the exception of minor technical change of the numerical identifier of POP 813 to 811 in both the State Fire Marshal Division and OSP Administration Division.
Just a quick note, and I would hope that as we look to whether it's a Christmas tree or whatever package that we may have towards the end of the session, or if the revenue forecast looks a little better tomorrow. I'm looking here. I'm going back to the parole division, where in 81 we were 665 troopers on the road, and even with I can appreciate that we're adding 100 in the general fund, but not without new revenue sources. But if there's any way that, that this committee could make a note to the co-chairs that really, when I look at where we were and where we are today, if there's any possibility at all of increasing the patrol, the patrol numbers, so that we are reaching 24/7. You know, we have some serious issues, particularly as all these methamphetamine, and everybody knows that's my drumbeat, that's on our highways and byways and in our rural communities as well as our urban communities. In addition to the number, we're high on the accident rate nationally, so I'm just asking that we make a note, if we can make a note, to send a message to the co-chairs that should funds become available, whether it's 10 more, 15 more, but that we add some more troopers so that we really can get to a 24/7.
So noted. We'll be sure to pass that on. Any other discussion? Objections? The policy option packages are moved, right? Okay.
Do you next? Should like another motion, Mr. Chair?
Should I make a motion on the LFO recommendations overall? Is there a motion on the amended LFO? I'm sorry. Is there a motion to approve the Oregon State Police budgets?
Mr. Chair, I move the budget for the Oregon State Police is listed on and enumerated on pages 25 and 26 of the memo addressed to the subcommittee. Dated May 11, 2007.
Senator Westland has moved the budget for the Oregon State Police as listed on pages 25 and 26 of the memo. Is there any discussion? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I mentioned before, I'm highly disappointed that we did not have an opportunity to discuss dedicated funding, as one of the senators mentioned. That revenue may have given us the opportunity to not only fund the 139 troopers that we were seeking for this biennium, but to further plan into the future for growth within the patrol division beyond what we have here. Though it's been noted that it is a significant increase, and for that I'm sure both Oregonians and the troopers themselves are appreciative, I think it should be noted it's 40% short of where they were hoping to be. And with no disrespect to the agency for the hard work they have put in, I will be a no on this budget.
Okay. Further discussion?
Well,
Senator Westland.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to point out a couple of things. First of all, this budget is round numbers, a 20% increase from the 0507 budget, and it's more than that, it represents 181 positions and a 123 FTE increase. Part of that is the fiscal reality of where we were coming out of that desperate recession. And so, while I fully appreciate that, you know, this is a significant increase, it's where we've come from and what we can do today. So, given the resources that are available, I'd like to compliment the chair as well as the co-chairs and this entire committee, actually, for the good work in getting out the product that we can be proud of.
Representative Cameron.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to, recognize the $1.1 million in the backlog of the DNA. I think that's a real important issue that's been in the light for probably the last 2 years now, and I will be supporting your budget today, but I do want to make sure that, as Senator Winters said, that we have a real hard look at seeing if we can find some extra money to get the 24/7 coverage that we desperately need in our state.
Very good. All right. No further discussion. We'll have the staff go through the. Well, we're in the middle of the motion, aren't we?
Oh, that's right. We haven't finished the motion.
Okay, so why don't we call the roll just to clarify things?
I'm going to do it on the back of my sheet here. I forgot to grab
it. Sorry, I should have given you that. It's okay.
I'll just start. Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Nelson? Senator Winter?
Aye.
Vice Chair Westland?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Barker?
Aye.
Representative Hannah?
No.
Representative Nathanson?
Aye.
And Chair Shields?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, that was the amendment to the bill. The next thing would be to quickly go through the performance measures to stay within our time frame here. There should be a sheet attached to your materials. I will go through this rather quickly, mainly because the state police are working hard and diligently in reevaluating many of their performance measures as they relook at sort of their major functions and their strategic plan under the new management of the superintendent. Many of these KPMs will likely remain in some form, but some may be dropped or some may be altered. So it is the LFO recommendation that they come back to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee or other appropriate committee by July 2008 with the findings of their review of their key performance measures or KPMs. In that document, we have sort of laid out what they need to take a look at to make sure that the KPMs meet certain criteria that are influenced by the action of the state police, that are measurable, and that are truly relevant. There are also some specific changes to the performance measures. The performance measures that are related to OEM, Office of Emergency and Management, since this budget contemplates that moving to the military department, are proposed for deletion, as well as the specific forensics customer survey measure that is to be transferred to the overall customer satisfaction survey measure number 19 that's an agency-wide. And then finally, measures on the front page of this number 4, 5, 6, and 7 dealing with hunting and fishing compliance as well as crime reduction on call-outs. We recommend that the targets be increased just based on the experience over the past few years in these areas. Their performance has been significantly outpacing their targets. So it's our recommendation that the targets be increased to reflect that. And that is a brief overview, Mr. Chair, of the key performance measure discussion.
And I'd also like to commend the work of Representative Barker. I asked him to meet with Superintendent McLean and the staff and review those, and he made recommendations to LFO, and so thanks for that. All right. Is there a motion to approve LFO's recommendations on performance measures?
Mr. Chair, I move the committee adopt the LFO recommendations on the key performance measures.
Is there Senator Westland has moved to approve LFO's recommendations on key performance measures. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move Senate Bill 533 as amended to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved Senate Bill 5533 as amended to be reported out to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a do-pass recommendation.
Okay.
Is there any discussion? Any objections? Representative, let the record show Representative Hannah has noted his objection. Motion is approved. Carriers. This is a Senate bill, Senator Westland, and on the House side, Representative Nathanson, would you carry this?
All right.
Thank you very much. Mr. McLean, we just wanted to thank you and your staff and all the troops who have been providing public safety to us for so long. I think this is a good first step, the 100 troops, and we're going to continue to work on a dedicated funding source and try to push that ball as far down the field as we can. Would you like to make any closing comments?
No, yes, Mr. Chair. I just really appreciate the committee's work and working with me and my staff. Thank you.
Well,
Mr. Chair, I just want to say there's still hope. We are not going to be here for many longer weeks, but many more weeks, but there's still hope that folks are really interested in seeking dedicated revenue to get us to 24/7 troopers. We have not gabbled out for signing die, so until that day happens, the opportunity is open.
And also, I wanted to let you know we're not going to be meeting again until Thursday, at which time we will be hearing the military department as well as the emergency management bill, the transfer bill. So we will need prompt attendance on Thursday, but no meetings until then. This meeting's adjourned.